I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
St. James, pray for us. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of Our Lady.
My name is Terry Barber. I'm the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Lebanese lover of Our Lady.
We got some soul food. That's the first thing that we do when we start the show.
Yep.
We want to get the Word of God into your mind and into your heart, because that's the only thing that's going to vaccinate us against all the sin and the culture of death that's all around us. So, Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Here our blessed Lord talks about to his inner circle of apostles. He talks about, can you guys drink my chalice? What does he mean by that? Let's take a look. Okay? Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Here's a request by the mother of James and John. Here's what it says. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked them for something. Notice a woman kneels before Jesus. This is the proper posture when you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, either in Jerusalem or in the Holy Mass. That's the proper posture, kneeling. Verse 21. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Command that these two sons of mine may sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the chalice that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my chalice, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, that's the ten apostles, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's one of the, when Jesus Christ died for our sins of the cross, it's the fathers of the church call that the ransom theory, what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on Calvary. But in verse 20 of today's gospel reading, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they're brothers.
Yep.
And along with St. Peter, these three apostles, they form kind of like the inner circle of Jesus, of his disciples. They're the ones that are with Jesus in the most important moments of his life. These three, Peter, James, and John. But in verse 22, here's what's interesting. The mother is asking Jesus, "Can they sit at your right hand at the kingdom?" And Jesus is saying, "Wait a minute. Before you sit at my right hand, are you willing to suffer for me?" In other words, it's not that simple just to say the Protestant sinner's prayer, and, you know, once saved, always saved, and then you get to heaven. No, Jesus is asking, are you guys, James and John, willing to suffer for me? And he says, are you willing to drink the chalice? Well, all the Jews know what that means, because that's simply an Old Testament metaphor that describes God's wrath upon wicked people. And so Jesus is saying, can you guys drink this chalice? Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm going to suffer what's called the passion, and I'm going to die for your sins as well. Are you able to share in my passion? Are you able to share in a life of suffering? In other words, following me is not going to be a walk in the park. Following me is not going to be a cakewalk. And in fact, we do know that James, he did share in the passion of Jesus. He was the first, James the Less was the first, the apostle to be martyred by one of the Herodian kings. And John the Apostle, he died in the island of Patmos of old age. Yep. So both of them suffered for Christ. And the question is, are we willing to suffer for Christ and offer those sufferings to the Lord in reparation for our sins and the sins of the world?
Well said. And like Bishop Sheen always says, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. As a matter of fact, bringing his name up, Jesse, reminds me, let's bring Fulton Sheen in on Holy Thursday here. I said Holy Thursday because I think of every Thursday we go into the church to pray for our priests and bishops and the Holy Father 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament. Why? To pray for them to have good leadership in the church and to confirm us in the faith. That's our prayer every Thursday night. You're welcome to join us. But Bishop Sheen, what do you have to tell us today? Jesse, kind of fits into the culture right now. This was written 58 years ago, but it could have been written today. It's on tolerance. Indifference are those who deny that there is anything as good or evil, or who have no philosophy of life and who accept no goal or purpose. That's the modern man. Right and wrong to them are merely points of view. Tolerance is identified with an equal value to right and wrong, truth and error, virtue and vice. The indifferent generally boast that they are open-minded. He's pitting it now. They are willing to hear all sides, but here it comes. They refuse to accept any. Their minds are so open that ideas pass right through it. I've said it a little differently, but he was very charitable, Bishop. Jesse, does that describe our culture today?
That's right. So many people have such an open mind that I think their brains fell out.
That's what I was going to say, Jesse.
And what we're supposed to do is when our mind encounters truth,
yes,
embrace our it. Mind should close on truth like a bear trap.
Amen.
And don't let it go. You got to cling on to it like a pit bull holds onto some red meat.
Yep.
And the problem with a lot of us as Catholics, Terry, is that most Catholics have such an open mind,
yeah.
They become moral relativists, and they don't even realize that they are moral relativists.
Absolutely. Jesse, I wanted to ask you, I know today you have an interview on other Catholic radio stations about your new book, so you won't be here for the last two segments, but hang on, everybody, because when Jesse's gone, we're going to bring up the issue of Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul VI's document 51 years ago, and ask the question, is it relevant today? My wife will be joining me. I think you're going to love it. But Jess, tell us what's going on with your new book that's coming out at the end of this month.
Yeah, it comes out the 29th of this month. The book is called The Devil in the City of Angels. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what's happening inside the church and in our culture, the only thing that makes sense out of all the evil that you see,
yep,
If there's a supernatural being called Satan or the devil that has an army, a legion with him called demons,
yep,
that's the only thing that could ultimately explain the sexual scandals in the church, the corruption in the Vatican Bank, the homosexual mafia, and also the culture of death that we find ourselves in the West, Islamic terrorism in the East, you know, beheadings, the cartels, corrupt governments like communism, Nazism, the Democrat Socialist Party. Terry, the only thing that can explain this type of systemic evil is the fact that there's a fallen angel called Lucifer or Satan or the devil.
Of course.
And a lot of Catholics don't like to talk about it because they think, oh, if I start talking about it, people are going to think I'm crazy. Or people are going to think that I'm old-fashioned, that that's medieval superstition, and I want to be respected by the modern man.
Yeah.
So a lot of Catholics, they just whisper in the dark about this stuff. I want to get a national conversation going.
Good.
Every one of us has had encounters with the diabolical, and instead we go to our little corner and we say, I better not tell anybody because they're going to think I'm crazy. No, you're not crazy. You're just a human being who's being tempted by the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion. So the book that I wrote, Terry,
good,
I expose the four faces of Satan in the
excellent
West.
Excellent.
It's Satanism,
yep,
witchcraft, Santa Muerte,
yep,
which has been exported from Mexico over here,
yeah,
and Santeria, which has been exported from South America, specifically the Caribbean islands, over here, and it's causing disaster everywhere it's exported.
Well, sir, I just have to say one thing. You mentioned the Vatican Bank. Cardinal Pell, who's sitting in jail right now on some accusations of sexual misconduct, which I believe is false with the facts that I've read. But think about this, everybody.
You actually know him.
I know him personally, but think about what happened. He was the one who exposed all of the corruption at the Vatican Bank. And then as soon as he started the investigation, what happened to him? Boom! Accusations came. We got to get rid of this guy. And now he says, sure, I'll go to Australia and face the music. And he did, and he lost, but there's still potential help right now. Keep him in your prayers because there's a appeal being done. In the next couple of weeks, we should know whether he's going to be exonerated. But here's my point, Jesse. I'm convinced the evil that's inside the church comes directly from Satan, okay? And people like Cardinal Pell, as soon as
that's why I wrote the book, Terry.
Thank you.
Exactly why I wrote it.
Exactly. He was exposing these problems in the church, and he gets taken out. Hey, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess's new book, you can get it by going to his website, jesseromero.com. Even as we speak now, get your order in. You'll be the first one on the block to get it. And I don't know if Jesse will sign it, but you ask him to. He might just
absolutely
sign it.
Absolutely.
Will you do that,
yeah,
Jess? Okay.
You can get it from my website, jesseromero.com. jesseromero.com, or you can get it from 10.com as well.
Great. What are we going to talk about when we come back, Jess?
Terry, we're going to talk about the fact that good cardinals and good bishops in this country seem to be smeared.
Oh, yeah.
They're smeared by the left.
Yeah.
And there's the Catholic left, too. By the way, the Catholic left and the political left, Terry, they're connected at the hip.
Of course.
And the political left has basically controlled the Catholic left through the college systems. The academia is virtually progressive, modernist, leftist. And they consider themselves the alternate magisterium. And when they see a good bishop, the Catholic left in academia, they go after him.
They attack him, just like we've been attacked as laymen. Yep. Why? Because we speak the truth with charity and clarity. And that's because you've helped us launch Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Go to our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Take a look at what we have for you. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio. Terry, there's some very stalwart bishops, and there's not enough of them, but there are some. You got Archbishop Chaput, you got my bishop.
Yep.
You got Archbishop Corleone. Yeah. You got Bishop Strickland.
Yep.
And here's what upsets me.
Yeah.
Is that the modernists, Terry?
Yeah.
They set up years ago what they would call the alternate magisterium, which means
define it.
That's us academics. We're the ones that dictate what is right, what's wrong. Not Rome, not the magisterium. And so modernism has set up this puppet alternate magisterium, and one of the phony, which we could call it, fake magisterial teachers, is Professor Massimo Fagioli, obviously of Italian descent.
Is that a Jesuit school, Villanova, Jess?
Yes, sir.
Really?
And he's a church historian at Philadelphia's, Pennsylvania's Villanova University.
Yeah.
And he said that three U.S. bishops are, he calls them devout schismatics. He says because they're trying to diminish the authority of Pope Francis, which is a lie.
It's a lie.
That's a categorical lie. And he names them Archbishop Chaput, Archbishop Corleone, and Bishop Strickland. He wrote a hit piece on Lacrosse magazine, and he said that they're Chaput, Corleone, Strickland, they're schismatics because they openly promote the undermining of the Bishop of Rome among the Catholic faithful, which is a lie. But again, Terry, unfortunately, you have Catholic periodicals that are leftist, that are basically just shills for the Democrat Party, like the National Catholic Reporter.
Oh, Disorder.
Disorder, and... I don't know about Lacrosse magazine, but if they're putting something like this out,
that's bad.
This is another, what I would call another mouthpiece for the secular left in this country.
Jesse, let me just say this. We're actually helping the Pope. And I'll tell you why we're helping the Pope. We not only pray for the Pope and bishops and priests. What our prayer is what the church has always talked about. The Holy Father's role is to confirm us in our faith. So when we see something that's not confirming us in the faith, we ask him questions. That's what the Dubia was all about. Those four cardinals, Jesse, that asked the Dubia, you know, years ago now, never got an answer. That was not attacking the Pope. That was helping the Pope clarify what Holy Mother the Church is teaching so that confusion will not be rampant. And I have to say this right now. Pope, dear, with all due respect to Pope Francis, please answer the questions so that for the good of the church, there can be clarity and charity rather than, right now, a lot of confusion in the Catholic Church. And later in the show, I'm going to demonstrate some of the confusion that's going on because we haven't clearly taught what we call perennial teachings of the church.
And it's still not being taught, Terry, by the way.
And we need it, Jess.
It's still not being taught.
Yeah, but I'm
talking about the document Humanae Vitae you're going to cover.
Yep.
And I'll just be honest with you.
Go ahead.
It's the most untaught doctrine in the Catholic Church in virtually 99% of the parishes that I've ever attended.
Well, that's what the statistics show too, Jesse. When I come later, when you're gone, I'm going to give what you just said. I'm going to back it up with some statistics on that. Go ahead.
Well, I'll just show you. One pastor, I'll name his name, Father David Ulrich, Oblate of Mary Immaculate.
Yeah.
Back in probably the late 80s, early 90s, when I discovered this document as a result of going to a place called the Catholic Family Conference. Where I heard some talks there from Janet Smith and others, and I ended up buying the document there from the Daughters of St. Paul. This was back by, I think, 89, I think. Mm-hmm. I was so floored when I read it because I'd never heard something like this. I'd never heard a homily like this. So I went to go talk to my pastor, Father David Ulrich, Santa Rosa Catholic Church, San Fernando, California, Oblate of Mary Immaculate. He used to always boast about his PhD from Berkeley. I sat in his office and I was, I'm in my late 20s and I'm, when you discover something new about the Catholic faith, you're kind of excited.
Of course.
Especially when you've been contracepting for a few years and you're saying like, wow, I didn't know this was wrong. In fact, the priest that married me, we could call him Father Contraception.
Yeah, tell us what happened.
Yeah. He opened up, Terry, he opened up an album in front of me and my wife, Anita. Okay.
Catholic priest.
Yeah. Yeah. Terry, he opened up like an album, a photo album.
Yeah.
And he had... just ads and ads from one page to another, condoms, pills,
that's sad.
All kinds of devices. He goes, oh, okay, this is what I Now, remember, I'm a Mexican-American at this point. At that point, I hadn't red-pilled yet.
Yeah.
You have to remember that Hispanics think that priests walk on water. They're almost gods in Mexico.
Yeah.
You never question a priest. That's the way I was raised.
Sure.
That was when I started red pilling.
Yeah.
I started saying, wait a minute. You know, there are some bad priests there. I never fathomed that. But Father David, you know, he also told me years later when I showed him the document, he just took, Terry, he just took the document from my hand. You know what he did? He shredded it in a shredder right in my presence.
Wow.
And he says, don't you ever bring that piece of crap into this parish again. Terry, I'm going to tell you right now, the situation hasn't changed.
Nope.
It's 2019. You walk into the average place with that document, it's going to get taken out of your hand and you're going to get run out of the parish.
Well, Jesse, I'll just give you the statistic now. In the United States, 98% of all Catholic women of reproductive age are contracepting. What? That just proves your point. I was going to wait till this third segment to tell people that. But, Jesse, let me just ask you this.
Well, let me go. I got to say something about Villanova University. I don't want to get away from this.
No.
Villanova University, this is a bad
Jesuit
place.
University.
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Tell us.
In 2013, there was a former cardinal by the name of Cardinal Theodore McCarrick that gave a talk at Villanova University.
Yeah, famous one.
Yeah. And you can look at it on YouTube. So you're saying, Jesse, where are you getting this stuff from?
On YouTube.
Yeah. And at Villanova University, he said that with the election of Pope Francis, he says he is going to change the church within 5 years. And as you look at his presentation, he basically says, Terry, that he was part of the cardinals that orchestrated the election of Mario Bergoglio to Pope Francis.
Right.
And he says, this is our man. This is the man that's going to change the church within 5 years. So Villanova University, Terry, this place is just rife with modernism right now.
Well, unfortunately, you're right. But when they make these accusations against these holy bishops and cardinals that are faithful men of the church, my normal reaction, Jesse, is to defend these men because, you know, they got the guts. It's just like Bishop Strickland just this week. We talked about it earlier in the week, how he came out and was chiding his brother bishops for not speaking the truth about the gospel of life and of just teaching people the fundamentals of the faith. And, you know, by doing that, you're going to get attacked. And I just want to say, you know, that's the kind of characteristic I'm looking for a shepherd, for a father. I relate it to a mom and dad, Jess. If we let our kids get away with anything, right? We just say, oh, yeah, he's smoking dope or he's, you know, he's watching pornography. Well, boys got to be boys. See, that's not responsible. And I really mean this. I relate it to shepherds. The bishops are shepherds of their souls. They're spiritual fathers to their priests and their diocese. And so many times, Jesse, my priest friends have felt like they've been abandoned by their spiritual father. So we need to pray hard for our bishops that they will become true spiritual fathers because, you know what, holy priests, holy people.
Terry, a lot of our priests, I've talked to a lot of them, they feel abandoned by their bishop.
Of course they do. That's what I said.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why Villanova University and other universities consider themselves the alternate magisterium. I'll tell you why they have the chutzpah to call out Orthodox bishops and cardinals. I'll tell you why.
Mm.
It's because this all goes back to 1967. There was a group of Catholic colleges. It was led back then by the University of Notre Dame, where they declared their independence from the Catholic magisterium. Why? It was called the Land O'Lakes Declaration.
Famous.
It was signed by the leaders of Catholic colleges and universities under the leadership of Father Ted Hesburgh, who was the Notre Dame University president back then.
Yep.
And they declared their independence from the Catholic Church's teachings of the magisterium. Why? In order to qualify for federal money, and many Catholic schools, they jumped in.
That was our
they
downfall.
Wanted the federal funding.
Yep.
But the federal funding came with compromise.
Oh yeah, that's the downfall.
And most of these Catholic presidents of these Catholic institutions of higher learning, they were willing to say, you know what? We will downplay Catholic doctrine. We will hire non-Catholic professors. You know, 50% of our staff will be non-Catholic professors. And we want complete autonomy from the magisterium. And if this is what's going to get us federal money to build these big, lavish football stadiums and these big, lavish sports programs, I'm in. And so, Terry, there was a treason.
Yep.
An intellectual
That's
treason.
That's what it is, Jess. Yep.
Yeah, that's the best way I can describe it.
I think you described it well, a treason. And Father Hesburgh, I know from Notre Dame, also put a lot of money through the Ford Foundation and teased Pope Paul VI to say, just compromise on birth control and we'll get this money. And thanks be to God, Pope Paul VI said, no, I'm not going to take your blood money. And I say that because I think we should pray for Father Hesburgh. He passed away now. He's into his eternal rewards or whatever God designed has judged him. But I can tell you right now, he did a lot of damage because he was in charge of the faculty at Notre Dame. And we all know what happened to Notre Dame's teachings. A lot of them, they got all kinds of modernist thoughts in there. The kids, people were sending their kids to Notre Dame and the kids were coming out atheists. I'm sorry to have to say that. So when we come back, Jesse, because you've got to go do a radio interview, right? Oh, I want to mention again your book, Jesse. Tell the people about your book, what you're doing.
The Devil in the City of Angels. It comes out, you can order it now. It comes out the 29th from Tan Books. Mm-hmm. It's my encounters with the diabolical, with witches. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to start a national conversation. Guess what, Catholics? You're not crazy. We've all been through it.
Yep.
And I know it hasn't been taught in the church for decades, but all you got to do is just say the Our Father. And it says at the very end of the Our Father, the catechism says, it says, deliver us from the evil one. Every time you pray the Our Father, you're acknowledging, asking God the Father to protect you from the devil. That's the evil one we're talking about in the Our Father.
And just to back you up, there was a catechism called Christ Among Us by Wilhelm. And in that catechism, millions of copies went through in the United States in the 60s and 70s. And that catechism said that the devil was a figment of our imagination. There really wasn't a devil. So, Jess, I'm just backing you up with the facts. The facts are many people in the church still think that we can't talk about the devil because, you know, that's this archaic. Well, your book sets it straight. And it's nothing new, Jesse. You're not saying anything that the church hasn't taught about the devil. It's all the facts. So I want people to go
I think most people, what they're going to enjoy, yeah. Tan says what they're going to enjoy is the actual stories, not the theology, because the theology is all, we've all known it for 2,000 years. Yeah. What I've put down, it's not my theology. It's Thomas Aquinas,
exactly.
Augustine.
Exactly.
It's the stories. I think you're going to say, okay, all right, we are being attacked, and this does happen, and Jess gave us some tools on how to fight against it.
And just to let everybody know, next week, Jesse will be out getting formed in spirituality regarding
going to go to school on spiritual warfare. An entire week. Yeah,
so he'll be gone, and I'm going to have Gary Machuda on next week to talk about what he's doing because I want people to really get exposed to what Gary's doing on his apologetics.
He's great talent.
Yeah, great. And then when we come back, my wife Mary Danielle, we're going to discuss Humanae Vitae. This is the 51st anniversary today. And I couldn't find any website talking about Humanae Vitae. So guess what I'm going to talk about? Humanae Vitae, life. When we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show, Mary Danielle and Terry Barber will hopefully inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Jesse Show? Yes, that's not Jesse. That's my faithful bride, Mary Danielle. I love to say to people that we're too inspired to be tired, too protected to be dejected, and too renewed to be subdued. And what I mean by that, as spiritual fitness trainers, we're going to share with you what the Catholic Church teaches in season and out of season. And the topic right now is Humana Vitae. And the reason we're talking about this today is the anniversary of the 51st year since Pope Paul VI came out with this document, and we call it an encyclical. And man, what happened when he did that, it was incredible because so many people rejected it in the church. And I'd like to at least say that I want to give a little history on Humana Vitae, because what's interesting, and then I'll turn it over to my bride, and that is during the Second Vatican Council, this question of contraception was raised. Mm-hmm. But Pope John the 23rd, who's a saint, he said, no, we're not going to discuss it at the council. I'm going to establish an international commission of experts to study the question. Now, as he passed during the council, Pope Paul VI took it over, and he extended the commission to 72 members from five continents. Mm-hmm. The commission concluded with a majority of 68-4 that artificial birth control was not intrinsically evil, and that Catholic couples should be allowed to decide for themselves about the methods to be employed. Well, it's interesting, out of those four who said, no, it is intrinsically evil, it was St. John Paul II the Great and Archbishop Fulton Sheen. One of them's a saint, and the other's being beatified soon. Mm-hmm. So I think Paul VI took the advice of the dissenter view of four that said no, because his predecessors back at Casti Canubi, right, in 1930 stated that. And so that's the interesting part about Humana Vitae, that Pope Paul VI went against the commission and taught what the perennial teachings of the church were on that. Right. Mary Danielle, what are your, I want you to also tell the story when you were a little girl. I think you were 11 years old at the time when Humana Vitae came out, and your mama was having a conversation with someone about Pope Paul VI's document. I think it's kind of ironic. Could you share that story with us?
Yeah, before the document came out, and my mother, you know, we had 10 children at home. This other woman had 11 children at home, and mm-hmm. both big Catholic families. And the woman was saying, well, what if the Pope changes the teaching? And I just remember my mother saying, the Pope can't change the teaching. He can't do it. And then finally my mother looked at the woman and she said, I'll tell you what. If he changes it, I'll buy you a hamburger.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. We don't eat out. This is really big stuff. This is important. And, you know, at the time I didn't fully understand it, but in retrospect I realized. Yeah. And my mother understood. She'd read Casti Canubi by Pope Pius XI. And in Casti Canubi, Pope Pius XI called it intrinsically evil to mm-hmm. use artificial contraception. And what does intrinsically evil mean? Mm-hmm. By its nature. Well, why by its nature is artificial contraceptive, intrinsically evil? And Bishop Sheen explains it this way, because it divides love and life.
There you go.
God made marriage in the beginning. He made man and woman. He made us male and female, and he made us for union. And he made us for a union that was supposed to reflect the inner Trinitarian life of God.
Mm-hmm.
Mankind in his body is supposed to reflect God. We're supposed to reflect the love of God and the fecundity, the fruitfulness of God. And this is what marriage is about. And the marital relationship is ordered to the union of the spouses and procreation of children. This is what God made. And so by its nature, artificial contraceptives divide this love and life, this union and procreation. They make the union sterile deliberately. Now, granted, not everybody can have children. And if you can't have children and it's because of nature and you haven't done anything to prevent it, that's not a sin.
Nope.
It's when you deliberately intend to thwart the possibility of life coming from your conjugal union. That's intrinsically evil because it goes against what God has made.
Well said. Mary Danielle, before you came in, Jesse was explaining his own situation. And I'm sure this relates to a lot of couples when they got married. Maybe they didn't know what the church taught regarding contraception. And unfortunately, by 1981, 87% of Catholics were using contraceptives.
Wow.
Now, that's tragic. And I think a lot of that, I'm going to be honest with you, it was the message got muted. In other words, it didn't get out to a lot of people. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why when we had these family conferences, like we're having one next week in Wichita, for the last 30 years, we've been having conferences on family life and sharing the good news. And it is good news.
It is good news.
and what I noticed, I tell the story, and I'll just give you a brief story. One of the families like Jesse who came, I won't give their name, but they're friends of ours now. They were just recently married. They had 2 or 3 years of marriage, and the husband did not want to have children right away. And they were at the family conference, the same one that Jesse was at. And Dr. Hahn was speaking on the fruitfulness of love. And he was pointing out the Catholic Church's teaching on humanae vitae and the life-giving love of that. And the husband was like, I think I could argue some points. I'd like to talk to that guy. Well, the wife and was saying, well, yeah, let's do that. Nah, we're going. So he said, let's go home. Well, when they got to the parking lot, the wife said, honey, if I could get you to talk to Dr. Hahn right now, can we stay? And he said, yeah, let's see you do that one. Let's see you pull that off. There's thousands of people at the family conference. How are you going to pull that off? Well, I could see that there was a woman on the other side of the tables where we had all of our cassette tapes back then. And she looked really distressed. And somebody pointed her to me and she told me her situation. And she was really frantic. I would say frantic. And she said, my husband's in the parking lot and he wants to talk to Dr. Hahn because, you know, he doesn't agree with what Scott said about humanae vitae and about life-giving love. And we're going to go if I can't get Scott to speak with him. So I said, well, you go back to the parking lot, get your husband, come right back here, and I'll get Scott, and he'll chat with your husband and you right now. What? Oh, she's so happy. She runs over to the parking lot. Honey, 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 you can have a meeting with Dr. Hahn. And I didn't think, I'm not following it, but okay. So I see the couple comes back. I interrupt Scott talking to somebody, and I said, Scott, excuse me, this is very important. Come here. So I pull him away, put him behind the curtains where we have all of our equipment, and I've got a couple chairs there, and they have a conversation for like 20 minutes to a half an hour with this couple. Well, I didn't think anything of it, but I found out 20 years later, I'm at their home having a barbecue with my kids and you, and you know the story. He says to me, Terry, I want to talk to you about something very serious. Now, he's got like 9 children or 8 children at the time. I didn't think anything of it, but he says, do you remember when I was at the family conference and you were able to get me a meeting with Dr. Scott Hahn? And I honestly said, no, I really don't know that.
I don't remember.
Because I've had people ask me that before. Well, you did, and it changed my life. And he starts to tear up. He said, you see the kids playing in the yard here and going swimming? And I wouldn't have these kids if you didn't step in to get me that appointment with Dr. Hahn. I'm so happy, and I just want to thank you.
Wow.
Shook my hand. I shook his hand. I said, praise God. Yeah. Well, why do I say that? Here it is now 51 years later. That was 20-some years later.
Yeah.
I think it was on the 25th anniversary,
yeah.
That one. And now we're still promoting the life-giving love of the church teachings on humanae vitae because there's still couples, and you might be one of them. Yeah. And if you want to get a good series that convinced that couple, and Jesse also, we have 3 CDs called Life-Giving Love.
Yeah.
By Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn.
Yep.
And they tell their story.
Yes, they do.
And I think stories sometimes do a better job than going through the document, which I have here on humanae vitae. I would encourage you just to go online and you can print out your own.
Right.
But Mary Danielle, That story is repeated more often. And why? Because people have the guts. And I mean that, I want to ask you that question. Why is it that we're afraid, if we are, to share those hard truths about life-giving love? What is it that's stopping us?
Well, I think that we've lost our hope. And
hope. Hope in what?
Hope in eternal life. We've lost our vision of where we're going. We think we have a finality here in this world, and we're trying to create a perfect paradise here on this earth. That's not what we're made for.
You mean a boy and a girl, and that's it?
Yeah, well, you know, the perfect family, right? The perfect paradise. The 1950s and all of those TV shows that they came out with were, how many kids were in the families? How often did you see a show, a primetime TV show, Father Knows Best, My Three Sons,
Leave It to Beaver,
Ozzie and Harriet. How many kids do they all have?
Just a couple.
The most was three.
Yeah.
And it was a subtle brainwashing going on. And we lost our hope in a finality beyond this world. And also, we've put our hope in the material comfort of this world. And as a consequence, we have no fortitude. And when we have no fortitude, we can't share the gospel. Hope. When we have the virtue of hope deeply rooted in our souls, we have the capacity to practice mortification because we have our focus on heaven. We know that we can give up the things of this world because we're really made for God, and God will satisfy all the longings, bodily longings too, all the longings of our whole being, body, soul, and spirit will be satisfied by God and fulfilled in heaven. And not only in heaven, on this earth, we will know joy beyond telling if we live in union with God. And the saints have suffered, and they've suffered with great joy. Read The Secret Diary of Elizabeth Lesueur. Read Witness to Hope, Chiara Corbella Petrillo.
Right. Sophia Press.
Sophia Press. And Chiara just died in 2012. And Elizabeth Lesueur died, you know, back in 1913. But the reality is these women suffered. They suffered tremendously, but they had joy in their suffering. As a matter of fact, they became a source of consolation and joy to everybody who came to see them, including the people who were trying to take care of them because they were dying of grave illnesses.
When we come back, I want to give some statistics of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases that are in America from the Center of Disease Control. And it's all tied into not implementing Humana Vitae. And if you are one who's just learned about this in your own marriage after you were married, call us at 888-526-2151. I'd like to hear how you came to understand the life-giving love of marriage. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, this isn't Jesse that I have my hand on. It's Mary Danielle, my faithful bride. And we have our 30th anniversary coming up for our wedding. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Mary, I want to, before we get back to the Hermana Vitae, and I made a promise I'd give some statistics, I want to remind everybody the True Femininity Conference, Be Who You Are for Women, September 7th. We've been hitting it hard. We've got a lot of registrations this week. So I want to remind people that Father Charles Murr is coming. We've got Barbara Nicolosi. We've got Mary Danielle, Helene Boskowitzki. We got lots of good people that are going to be speaking at this conference that are going to feed you with great material. And if the dads are out there, get your wife. Honey, this is my little Mother's Day gift earlier. Just make up a gift and give it to her to come by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or you can call 877-526-2151. And we also have a spiritual warfare conference coming up. We have one on liturgy with Father Fessio of Adoramus. Just go where it says mark your calendars. Okay, getting back to Hermana Vitae, we talked about very few Catholics, 87% are really utilizing what the church has to teach. And in the secular world, it's even higher. And I got these statistics from the Center of Disease Center in Atlanta, Georgia, that right now, and as of 2016, which is 19 now, 110 million people, that's one out of three people in America breathing, have an STD, a sexually transmitted disease. So we're out of control. We spend $16 billion with a B, on medically helping these people with medications and doctor visits. So we're out of control. It's costing healthcare a big ton of money by not living according to God's design. Right. And that's all we're saying. We see right now that our world, especially in America, we're living like God doesn't exist, and we're doing it our way. And what's happened is marriages are breaking up.
Right.
Diseases
right.
are coming in that we right. haven't seen for years.
Right.
And we're spending billions of dollars to take care of people who, if they would have followed God's design, wouldn't be sick.
Right.
So, Mary, what is all this about?
Well, this is all about the reality of how God made man and why God made man. And you see in the beginning, it's interesting because you go back to the garden, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what did Adam and Eve want to do? The knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
They wanted to decide for themselves what was good and evil.
That's right.
And what happened when Paul VI was writing Humanae Vitae, and already the church was studying, and already there was great pressure for the church to change the teaching that she had had forever.
Yeah.
You know, for 2,000 years, it had always been the same.
Yeah.
That God made love and life to go together, and you can't divide them.
Right.
And so, you know, the world is telling the church, you have to change, you have to change. And Paul VI in Humanae Vitae warned, if I were to change, if people don't follow what God designed.
Yeah. What was his predictions?
You're going to have widespread divorce.
Check.
You're going to have widespread infanticide.
Check.
You're going to have widespread abortion.
Check.
You're going to have venereal disease.
Yep.
Disease will be out of control. And what happens is, just like when Adam and Eve decided for themselves what was good and evil,
yeah,
and immediately after the fall, they had to cover themselves. You know, God had made them naked, and they were naked without shame. Why? Because they looked at each other as persons to be loved, not as objects to be used. Mm. But once they sinned, once they decided for themselves what was good and evil, then they became objects to be used. Man wanted to dominate, woman wanted to manipulate. They both wanted to be in charge, and they wanted to use each other for their own good. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens when you use contraceptives. Humanae Vitae, by the way, the name of the encyclical means human life. It's on the transmission of human life.
Right.
And it's teaching us what was God's design from the beginning. And when we don't follow God's design, man uses other men to gain his own ends, what he wants for himself. People become objects to be used rather than persons to be loved. And what's interesting is man, when he doesn't follow God's law, degrades himself. And he becomes worse than an animal.
Every time.
No animal would ever do the things that men think of doing to each other when they sin. Because animals don't have an intellect and they're not made in God's image. But when we corrupt God's image within us, we become worse than the animals. And so people use one another when they aren't open to life in marriage, then your spouse just becomes an object for your pleasure. And this makes the spouse an object, not a subject of love.
Well said. And just to back up that statement, even in our country, the United States, the fertility rate is at its all-time low.
Wow.
It shows that in the U.S., it's below the level needed to replace the population, the study says. Without immigration coming in,
right,
we would not have enough children to replace the people who die.
Right.
And I thought about this, Mary. If we were looking at any other, you know, group of either people or even animals,
right,
that were killing off
their offspring, yeah,
wouldn't we say there's a problem?
We would. I remember when I was in junior high and in our science class, they were telling us about this. I don't remember exactly the details. I was in seventh grade. This was years ago. But some animal group was killing itself. It was destroying itself. And the scientists were all like, something's terribly wrong here. Why would any species turn on itself and destroy itself? And I remember, because then Humanae Vitae comes along, and then people are saying, well, we have to kill our children to find happiness in this world, and children are the cause of all the problems in the world, and they're the cause of poverty, and they're the cause of divorce, and they're the cause of this. Any evil you can think of, oh, it's the kids, it's the children. If we just don't have the children, we won't have all these evils. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, the children are offspring, and we're killing them? And scientists aren't saying, wait a minute, what's wrong? Something's wrong with mankind. He's trying to kill himself off. We didn't figure it out?
Yeah.
Is anybody listening out there? I don't know.
Well said. One thing I want to bring up before we run out of time that people ask in their minds, I'm trying to think of what you're asking. What's the difference between artificial contraception, could be the pill, IUD, could be any of those, versus what we call NFP?
What's interesting is what Bishop Sheen said. And artificial contraception is called birth control. Mm-hmm. The reality is there's no birth and no control.
That's right.
And what happens with the artificial means,
yes,
is now you're not working with what God made.
The design. Yeah.
You are deliberately thwarting the possibility of life coming from conjugal union. And so you're dividing love and life. NFP takes what God has made. It takes the natural rhythms of the cycle of the woman.
Yep.
It studies it and it says, okay, when is she fertile? When is she infertile? It's not sinful or wrong to have intercourse with your spouse, for a husband to have intercourse with his wife when she is not fertile, because that's what God made by nature.
Right.
There are times when you're just not fertile, and not every
month.
Yeah, and not every, exactly. You're only fertile 3 to 5 days out of the month. So every conjugal embrace that doesn't deliberately thwart the possibility of life is open to the possibility of life. And that's all the church is saying. We have to be open. We can't deliberately put barriers between what God has made. And so NFP is working with what God has made. And so there is birth and there's control. Man learns discipline. He learns self-control. He learns to respect his spouse. He learns to see The spouses learn to see each other as persons to be loved, and they have consideration for the needs of the others. And there has to be a communication that goes on, and they have to work together with NFP. With artificial contraceptives, no, you don't have to do that. And what you do is you either mutilate the human body through sterilization, or it's all on the woman because she's taking the pill, and if she gets pregnant, well, then she messed up, and I can blame her. Or, it's all on the man. He mutilated his body, right?
people know this is wrong. Why are we mutilating our bodies? Why are we so afraid of children? Are we thinking anymore? Are we thinking and considering what happened to our ability to reason and consider what is the consequence of our action?
Mary, one more question before we break for the hour. People who just say they mutilated their power to transmit life, women can also have an operation. Men can have an operation to make them infertile. The question came up, do people have a moral obligation, especially men who have a vasectomy and they're no longer able to transmit life, but they're having relations with their wife? Monsignor William Smith is the one who answered that question. You want to share the answer to that?
And you do not have to. If you realize that what you've done was wrong and you've repented of it, that's right, and you've confessed it, then you are free to have relations with your spouse. If it's within your possibility financially to seek the reversal of that operation, go ahead and do that. If you can do that, that would be a very laudable thing to do. And the other thing to do would be to use NFP in those circumstances, or to have recourse to certain periods of abstinence so that you can free each other for prayer, that you would pray together instead of having relations as reparation for the fact that you mutilated your body. But you don't have to undo that. It's not morally, you're not absolutely morally obliged to do that. But if you can, do it if you can. It's actually better for your body.
And I've had many people call me. There's a doctor that does it for about $4,000 or $5,000. So, I mean, if you're in a position to spend that money, go for it. If you can't, I understand what my wife just said. Mary Danielle, the beginning of this letter on Humani Vitae, and I'd ask everybody just to print out a 16-page. It's not long. But I love when he starts out. He says, the transmission of human life is a most serious role in which married couples collaborate freely and responsibly with God the Creator. It has always been a source of great joy to them, even though it sometimes entails many difficulties and hardships. I've got to tell you right now, anybody who says being married is just a bunch of fun, everything is just peachy keen, they're not telling you the truth, because marriage, any vocation, whether it's a single life, religious life, there's sacrifice involved. And absolutely, Bishop Sheen says the language of love is sacrifice.
Right, right. There you go.
Wrap it up, my love.
Sacrifice is the language of love, and we sacrifice for each other. And the point of it is we're supposed to be getting each other to heaven. Mm. Read that introductory paragraph again. We're cooperating with God when we bring forth new life. This is a great gift.
Absolutely. And that's why we end every show on the Terry and Jesse Show with this question. What state should you be living in, my love?
The state of grace.
And what state shouldn't you be living in?
The state of mortal sin. Confessions are available. Get there. quickly.
I love it. I want to thank you. And as I said, next week, Jess won't be here. And I'm going to have some special guests. But one thing I am going to talk a lot about next week is on the Holy Mass.
Beautiful.
Because it's the source and summit of the Christian life. And again, you monthly donors, I thank you every day.
Thank you so much. Thank
because that's
you.
How Virgin Most Powerful pays its bills. And if you want to become a monthly donor, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call me. My cell number is 661-972-7872. Here at Virgin Most Powerful, may God bless you and full sheen ahead. God love you. I wanted
Saint
to bring
Faustina's
those questions up because I'm trying to think.
O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.